at Matan Torah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, there was, it would set up in a way where there created a sense of awe, a sense of fear between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Torah describes this fear, it describes it in two different ways. The Torah first says, "Vayhi kolos ubrakim va'anan kaved al ahar." There was thunder and loud noise and a thick cloud on top of the mountain. The kol shofar chazak me'od, and there was a very loud, penetrating sound of the shofar. Vayecharad kol ha'am asher b'machaneh. And as a result of all of this noise, the Torah tells us the entire nation was trembling in the machane. And then the Torah tells us, Vahar Sinai Ashan Kulo, the Mount Sinai, the mountain, was full of smoke. Mipnei Asher Yarad Alav Hashem Ba'esh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came on top of the mountain through fire. Vayal Ashano Keshen Akivshan, Vayer Harad Kol Hahar Me'od, it was thick smoke. It looked like a furnace up there. Vayacharad Kol Hahar Me'od. The first time we discussed fear, the Torah used the language Vayacharad Kol Ha'am. The nation was afraid. Now it's Vayacharad Kol Hahar. The mountain was afraid. Says the Shem Yishmuel that these are two different types of fears that were necessary at the time of Matan Torah. Shtei charados hayusham. Charados ha'am, charados ha'har. Fear of the mountain, fear of the nation. Upshitas, achar shachar kol ha'har, v'vadei kol ha'omdim charadim. After the mountain was afraid, the whole nation was. What is it? V'hidachinu charados shonos hayusham. There are two different types. Charada v'gashmias, and charada b'ruchnius. He says like this. Number one, the charada sahar, the fact that the nation, that the mountain was afraid, was a natural fear. When we hear sirens go off, and that siren leads one to, has to rush and panic and take all of their children quickly into a bomb shelter, one sees on the news, any moment, my city could be next. That is a natural, instinctive fear that every person feels. Every human being, any normal, natural human being feels a fear when they see noise and confusion and smoke. That is a fear that we all can connect to. That is charadas Hahar, that the mountain experienced a charada, literally means a trembling. The Ohod Haisa Sham says the Shem Yishmuel, the Saka Chavar Rebbe, charada nichbedes la'am belvad machmas kol ha'shofar. There was a charada that was not a result of anything physical, or wasn't a physical fear, a fear of something that was going to happen to them, you know, in physically. Rather, it was an awe of the experience that they were going through. It was frightening, yes, but this goal, the goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to create here, was a sense of relying upon Hashem, a sense of awe in the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was due to be created as a result of this scene on top of the mountain itself. And I think of this idea as we are now experiencing, and put yourself into these shoes. To be empathic means to put yourself in the shoes of somebody living in Eretz Yisrael and thinking about what they must be going through right now. It is a charadas hahar, what they are experiencing. It's a charada literally on the mountain. They don't know what's going to be, what to expect, when they can go out of the shelter, into the shelter. Am I going to be woken up again tonight? Am I going to be next? We hope, right? We hope it ends very soon, and there's no more. Then there's an additional goal of Har Sinai, and that was to create a different type of relationship. Hashem is a God of love. He loves us all. But there's also creation of awe that we want to look up to. We look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a sense of fear when we perform the mitzvos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are the two fears that we constantly balance, that the Jewish people are balancing at Matzah Torah. Okay, that is the first thoughts.
Rabbi.
In the second chapter, yeah.
I remember on 9/11, we had our building was in Brooklyn. We were exactly opposite the river, across the street from the World Trade Center. And we had big windows with a complete new office. Everybody was watching across the street after the first building was attacked. And then when the second, and everybody was pretty calm. The second building, because they didn't know what was happening. When the second building was attacked, the fear, and everybody went crazy because they either had relatives or friends that were in that one of the two buildings. It was just unbelievable to see the calm 1 minute, and the next minute, everybody was just went totally off.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Thank you for sharing, Mandy. Thank you. Thank you. This upcoming year is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Feels like yesterday. Yeah. Next thought, also, I'm going to connect to what's going on right now with Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us the following in Megillas Rus, that famously, Rus does not take no for an answer, and tells Naomi, Amech Ami ve'elokayech Elokai. Amech Ami, my nation is your nation, and Elokayech Elokai, my God is your God. So asks Rabbi Soloveitchik, it seems a bit redundant. You're right, they're different words. My nation's your nation. My God is your God. Or your God is my God. But it's pretty much, you know, you can't have God without the Jewish people, or the Jewish people without God. So what's going on here? So the Rav used this to explain that there are two components to a Jewish identity. This is a theme of the Rav throughout all of his writings. But he specifically wrote it here in an article in Beis Yitzchak, which is the YU's Torah journal that comes out every single year. He says, the Jews, we connect to our identity on two levels, fate and destiny. And he says here, and this is really what Rus was expressing to Naomi, Elokayich Elokai. I accept a full life of Torah mitzvos. I'm engaging the expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me each and every day, right? I got to wake up every single day, wash my tefillos na'i, mode ani, got to daven. I have expectations. I can't work on Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday for Shavuos. There are certain expectations that are incumbent upon me that I do when I join the Jewish people. That when a ger, right, joins the Jewish people, what does he or she need to do? Kabbalas ha-mitzvos. Kabbalas ha-mitzvos, accept upon themselves the responsibility and the obligation of all 613 mitzvos. That, he says, is reflected in the words Elokayich Elokai. But she also says, and maybe here more prominently, firstly, Amech Ami. This additional dimension says that we have a deep connection, not just with Torah mitzvos, me, Klape, Kadosh Baruch Hu, but a broader connection to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. That we are part of Am Yisrael now, and we are connecting to its history and to its destiny, to its future. Being a part of Klal Yisrael isn't just connecting to a common set of values, rituals, or ideas. We're part of a minyan. We could join certain things. No. It means we are organically part of one whole. The Gemara tells us that when a candidate comes up for conversion, what do we say? What do we say to try to scare them off? Yodea, don't you know that Yisrael, Bisman Shazeh, the Jewish people, Devuyim, Dechufim, Schufim, Mutarafim, we have a target on our back. Klal Yisrael, as we go throughout our history, we have a target on your back. And by joining Klal Yisrael, you should know. You have to watch yourself. The news is not going to be so supportive of you in time, now that you join Am Yisrael. Are you okay with that? Because when you accept being part of Klal Yisrael, you accept not only the old mitzvos, but you accept the responsibility to be part of Am Yisrael, to connect with Am Yisrael. That's also the vulnerabilities and the beauty and the majesty of the deep connection that we have with Am Yisrael. And that's the two expressions here. Elokayich Elokai, Amech Ami, Elokayich Elokai. Amech Ami, she declares, your nation is my nation. I'm part of your story now. I'm part of the Jewish narrative throughout history. No matter what happens, how challenging or difficult, or tragic or overwhelming, we are part of the same people. We share the same story. And then she said, Elokayich Elokai, and I also accept responsibility of the mitzvot itself. And that's something that we truly, truly, from Meron to now, in the past few weeks, how Klal Yisrael is seriously and severely suffering. We feel that pain. We feel that pain of Amech Ami. Amech Ami. And sometimes the mixas, Nechama is being in that pain with Klal Yisrael, as we've spoken about before. That is second thought over here from Megillas Rus. We continue on. I purposely, last year we learned Megillas Rus, so I chose things that we did not cover in Megillas Rus. The third idea comes from the baby naming of Boaz and Rus. Who knows what was the name? Boaz and Rus, Mazel Tov, they had a baby. It's pretty miraculous because I think we mentioned that Boaz is really Ibsan. He was pretty old at the time. He was pretty elderly. And Baruch Hashem, we have miracles today in modern medicine as well. So what was his name? What was the baby's name? Do you remember? Who said? What is it?
Oved.
Oved. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danny Metzger. Yes, Oved. His name was Oved. That is a very interesting name, Oved. So the Gemara, the Medrash, picks up on this and says, why is this his name? Like, why does this come from? And sorry, not the Medrash, but Rav Mordechai Druk, in his Sefer Darash Mordechai, asks, what's Pshat? Oved. Servant, worshiper, like how would you know, the Yikari Shemo be Israel, Oved, right? Sometimes I've seen Rabbi Yudin do this a few times. Like you whisper the name, the Abba whispers the name to the rabbi, and I've seen Rabbi Yudin like brush the person off, like no, that's not a name. Like give me a different name. So like what would happen here with the Oved? Is that so? Where does that come from? So the Gemara Chagiga is a beautiful word. The Gemara Chagiga quotes a pasuk of Malachi, one of the Treyasar, who writes, pasuk Malachi writes, "V'shavtem u'risim bein tzaddik l'rasha." You should see and discern the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Bein oved elokim la'asher lo avadu, between a worshiper of God and one that does not worship God. So the Gemara says, first you say discern between a tzaddik and a rasha. And then between an Oved Elokim and one that does not Oved Elokim. So like it says Gemara, wait a minute. Isn't a tzaddik the same thing as an Oved Elokim? They sound like synonyms. They sound, if not very similar, they are the same thing. A tzaddik and an Oved Elokim. So says the Gemara, there's a difference. There's two different types of tzaddikim. Eino doma, shona pirko mea pamim, l'shona pirko mea v'yechad. Says the Gemara, a tzaddik is somebody that learns the Gemara 100 times. An Oved Elokim is somebody that says, let's do it once more. One more time. That's the higher appellation. Who was an Oved Elokim? Who was described as an Oved Elokim in the Tanakh? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eved Hashem, was an Oved Elokim. That is in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. He is referred to as an Oved Hashem. You see from here the power of going one more step. Not the extra mile, but the extra step. That going one more step in your Avodas Hashem makes a big difference. Not just for you, but the impact that you could make. And that's how Malachi describes tzaddik, Oved Elokim, a little bit more. And he uses this to describe the difference between Rus and Orpah. Rus and Orpah. If you look at it, Orpah wanted to go with Naomi just as much as Ruth. She asked and she asked. Naomi rejected both of them until the last point where Orpah, they kissed, they hugged, and Orpah left. The Ruth dafka ba, and Ruth stayed with Naomi. The Medrash writes that Orpah took four steps with Naomi out before, with Naomi, when she was going out on her journey, before she said goodbye. And Ruth took five steps. She took that extra step. In the schus of Orpah taking four steps, she had four giants, grandchildren. One of them, we know, Goliath. Four oppressors of the Jewish people were born as a result of that, as a schus for those four steps, to show the power that she had with even just taking those four steps. But Ruth understood that that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. We are defined by going the extra step, doing a little bit more in our Avodas Hashem. And that's what he argues Ruth was recognizing here by naming her first child Oved. I don't want you to just be a tzaddik. Maybe we're all responsible or obligated to be tzaddikim v'tzikanios. I want you to be an Oved Elokim. What's the difference? To the average Joe, it doesn't look like such a big difference. Four steps, five steps. But I understand. I lived it. That there's a major difference. No, because we ultimately are defined by the choices. We're really just whoever we are right now is just all of our choices that we made in our lives up until now. And if you look at each choice in a snapshot, you would say, okay, you did this way, you did that way. Okay, what's the big deal? But each choice, you know, has ramifications. Each decision that we make in our lives has impact on the next decision that we make. That's what an Aveira Goreres Aveira or Mitzvah Goreres Mitzvah means. That making a good choice now means that it's going to impact the next choice that one makes. And that's what Ruth wanted for her child, Oved. She wanted Oved to live by that message. And by having this in the Megillah, this is something that we need to keep in mind also. And it just shows you also the power of learning, not a lot, but learning a little bit, and how just learning a little bit more can make a big impact on you.
Rabbi, where is the pasuk in Malachi? Do you know where?
1 second. Perek Gimel. It doesn't say where. It's a Gemara Chagiga, Perek Tesam Abes in Maseches Chagiga.
Thank you.
You got it. Okay, today is Beis Sivan. Anyone know? Beis Sivan has a special name. Anyone? It's not so often spoken about.
Yep.
Mandy, go ahead. You have it?
Yom HaMiyuchas.
Today is called Yom HaMiyuchas.
It's my Zayda's Yartzeit, by the way.
Oh, okay. Neshama Shavna Aliyah.
Amen.
So that's actually very appropriate for Yom HaMiyuchas. Today is called Yom HaMiyuchas, the day of Yichas. The day of Yichas. Beis Sivan. So what's pshat? Like, what does that mean that today is called Yom HaMiyuchas? Why is that? So there are two different reasons given in the Minhagim Sfarim. Minhag Yisrael Torah is a good sefer. He describes two different reasons why this is. One reason is because today, Beis Sivan, is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our Yichas. He told us, "Vatem tiuli mamlachas kohanim, v'gai kadosh," that we are going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. When was that said? Today. Today we were given our yichus. Additionally, today is a day of yichus. Why? because yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow begins the Shlosh Shemei Hagbala, the three holy days that we use to prepare specifically for Shavuos. The day itself has no inherent yichus, but it's surrounded by days that have yichus. So Rosh Chodesh and the Shlosh Shemei Hagbala. So maybe we can argue, right, that what is yichus? Is yichus something that is significant? So I heard, I read from Dr. Twersky. I'm trying to read up on some of his books. Dr. Twersky Zatzal, I quoted, maybe it was him or maybe his father, that what is yichus? So he said, what's yichus? Yichus is having a lot of zeros, right? It's having a lot of zeros. What's up to you, right? You're the grandchild of what, you know, you come from a long line of. It's, where do you put that number? If you put the number in front of all those zeros, then great. Yichus is great. But that number can also go at the end of all those zeros. Yichus is what you make of it. It is nothing unto itself. It's what we make of it. They say a story about the Maggid of Mezrich, that's the Baal Shem Tov's main Talmud, who really spread the world of Torah, spread the world of Chassidus. It wasn't the Baal Shem, it was really his Talmud. And when he was a young boy, his house went on fire and his house burnt up. And his mother and his everyone survived. And his mother ran out of the house and was crying hysterically. Why was she crying? We lost our shtar yichus. It used to be, some people still have these, my father-in-law has one, that a shtar yichus that takes their whole family and if traces them back all the way back to. If you can get to Rashi, then you can get to David. If you get to David, you can get to Adam. Because Rashi, I think, traces lineage back to David. So if you can get there, so they have, and my in-laws in their house, they have a shtar yichus that goes back to Rashi. So he was crying, the Maggid's mom was crying. How could we lost our yichus, we had no more yichus. So she turns to him and says, don't worry, mommy, I'll make my own yichus. And that's the truth. That's the truth. The Rabbi Simon Jacobson, he said, what's great, what's yichus? Yichus is like a potato. A potato is best when it's, you know, where are the best potatoes? Under the ground. You know, that's what yichus is. Yichus is what we make of it itself. So maybe what this is really teaching us is the day Yom HaMiyuchas has no inherent kedusha. It's about before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the potential to be a Mamlachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. It's what we make of this day or of our lives that gives us that yichus. Utilizing the lessons, the ethics, the lives of all those that came before us to make that impactful life.
Rabbi, there's another message.
Go ahead.
It's sort of like, oh, tov latzadik, but tov lishkeno. If you yourself may not have great yichus, a great personal traits, great moral, great accomplishments, great learning, etc., if you surround yourself, you surround yourself entirely on both sides by persons or institutions or things that have good yichus and good traits, then it will rub off on you also. That's how the second day of the month is surrounded by Shlosh Shemei Hagbala, by Rosh Chodesh. So they impart to the second day a day of status. Same thing, a person that surrounds himself with good things and good traits and good midos, it will rub off on that person.
Very nice. Very nice. I like that. You got to surround yourself with good people. Good. That's great. Last thought comes from the end of Berachas HaShachar. At the end of Berachas HaShachar, we say the following. The last bracha is, Hamavir Shena Meinai, Usinuma Me'afapai. We thank Hashem, right? Stay up all night, Shavuos. We got great, great shiurim this year. Hamavir Shene Me'enai. We're having a last year of the night. It's going to be top 10 Shilas of 2020. If you have any Shilas that we maybe discussed together that you want to remind me about, that you want to, you think would be good for the top 10, please please text me or reach out to me later. So Mavir Shena Me'enai Usenuma Me'afapai. We daven that Hashem remove the sleep from my eyes and the slumber from my eyelids. It's a bracha to thank to daven to Hashem that we're awake. You know, even if we have a cup of coffee, we daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We need to thank you. Please, we need to be awake. Please give us the chizuk to go through the day. Now, if you continue on in the Vihi Ratzon afterwards and the following bracha, it Rav Schwab points out that it's very, very inconsistent with the beginning. What does this entire bracha talk about? Torah. Hiratzom mifanach Hashem lakeinu kevasein. Shetagileinu besorasecha. V'dabekeinu mitzvasecha. No tests, no averas, no avons. Separate me from anyone bad or evil. Connect me to the good. Right? And then from there we go. V'dikbeinu chasadim tovim. Brachat Hashem gomel chasadim tovim lamo Yisrael. So we begin with, remove the sleep from my eyes. We go into Torah. And then we conclude with Hagomel, like a mini Birchas Hagomel. What is going on in this bracha? If you haven't heard this Rosh Schwab yet, for me, it changes this entire bracha completely. Rosh Schwab says like this. In the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Hashem puts Adam to sleep. Vayipol Hashem Elohim tardema al ha'adam vayishan. Hashem puts Adam into his sleep, and that's when he does his surgery. And Chava comes out as a result. The Torah never says that Adam woke up. The Torah never says that Adam woke up from this slumber. And he argues that on a certain level, Adam never woke up. He was still slumbering and sleeping until Matan Torah. There were moments in the world where the nation, Klal Yisrael, woke up, not physically, but spiritually. And that first time was Matan Torah, where they woke up, where the Nershamos were awakened. And he argues here that this bracha is not about physically waking up. You know why it's not about physically waking up? Because we also have another bracha that talks about that right before. We say, Hanosein la ya'ef koa, Hashem, give the ya'ef, the tired, strength. And then we say again, wipe the sleep off of my eyelids. So that's redundant. So says Rav Schwab, this bracha mavishina is saying to Hashem, don't, you know, wake me up, you know, or don't let me sleep through life spiritually. You know, I might have physically woken up out of bed and washing tefillos yadayim. I might be awake and have my cup of coffee and ready to go and, you know, working and doing and dealing. Kadosh Baruch Hu, wake me up spiritually. I want to be awake. Tagileinu besorasecha, v'davikeinu b'mitzvosecha. Connect me to your mitzvos. Make me busy with chesed and tzedakah. And we conclude this bracha by saying, Gomel chasadim tovim mo Yisrael. Hashem, you do good and great things with your people, with your children. Hashem, thank you for your Torah. Thank you for giving us the ability to be busy with mitzvos, to be awake spiritually. And that's what he says this bracha is really all about. And it fits so beautifully, the bracha itself. And with the, you know, how many brachas do you need on waking up? So must be. Nosen Layef Koach is about physically waking up. Hamavir Shena is spiritually waking up. And with that, we should have a Shavuos that we are awake. We're awake spiritually. We're awake and we're attuned to the need of Klal Yisrael. And that we're davening and thinking. And we're learning as a Shavuos. For all of those Jews, and especially in Eretz Israel, who cannot go out to learn, who are, especially our chayalim, that are on the front lines and have to stand watch over our country, taking care and guarding and protecting Eretz Yisrael, especially this year. We're not learning just for ourselves. We're never learning just for ourselves. We're never davening just for ourselves. But especially this year, it becomes that much starker and that much more poignant. We're davening for Am Yisrael. And so I wish everybody a good Shabbos. Should be healthy and safe Shabbos. Look forward to seeing you over Shabbos. Look forward to davening with you over Shavuos and celebrating Zman Matan Torah Seinu with everybody. Good Shabbos and have
a Rabbi.
Good Yantif.
I lost you in the middle. My iPad overheated. It shut down. But when you were talking about Yom HaMiyuchas, and you talked about the surrounding, today's the surrounding day, Rosh Chodesh.